For many of us, it may seem as though 2018 is far away, but for political parties and candidates, it's just around the corner. This is true, too, for Wisconsin's gubernatorial race next year. Currently, Governor Scott Walker hasn't officially announced that he'll seek re-election, even though it's widely believed that he will. But Democrats haven't got candidates lining up either, which is leaving some political junkies scratching their heads. Alan Greenblatt joins us now. He's a political reporter for Governing. Alan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on. I apologize. I'm a little scratchy with a spring cold.
Ah, that makes two of us, so we're in good company. So, Alan, in the greater scheme of gubernatorial races nationwide, how does Wisconsin compare?
Well, next year there are going to be 36 races for governor. Most of the races for governor are off of the presidential year, and there are going to be a lot of competitive seats. Republicans are defending, I think they're defending 27 of them. And in a lot of states, you know, in most states, excepting yours and a few others, the governors are term limited. So a lot of those seats are going to be open. And as a result, we have a lot of open seats that are looking more competitive so far than Wisconsin's.
And you've written that unseating Scott Walker for Democrats would be a big prize. Why is that? What is it about this particular governor seat?
Well, it's this particular governor, Scott Walker, is disliked by Democrats, certainly in Wisconsin. He's a very polarizing figure in your state, as you know better than I do, and also nationwide. I mean, he was a presidential contender for about 5 minutes, but Democrats all over the country dislike him because of Act 10, which the 2011 law that stripped collective bargaining rights from most public employees. And, of course, since then, Wisconsin has become a right-to-work state, so that has also hurt unions in the private sector. In Wisconsin, you know, this is a Republican era in state government, has been. Walker was elected in 2010 along with the what we call the Tea Party wave of Republicans. They took over, I think, two dozen legislative chambers nationwide that year, including both the House and Senate in Wisconsin. And since then, Wisconsin has been at the forefront of a lot of conservative types of legislation, whether it's voter ID laws or abortion restrictions or, like I say, the union busting. You can go on down the list, and Walker has been near the top. And, you know, he's often caricatured as a crony of Alec and the Koch brothers. And for all those things, he's kind of a symbolic bete noire for progressives.
And he hasn't officially, as I said, announced that he's running. He's hinted broadly, and people are sort of assuming that this is a done deal. But is there any reason that you can think of that might be holding him back from making that announcement, you know, sooner rather than later?
This time in 2009, he had announced when he was, you know, he'd already been running for a while when he was the Milwaukee County Executive. It's not particularly late. I mean, this is a season where a lot of candidates are announcing all over the country. But as an incumbent, he can afford to wait. You know, he can make up his mind later. I'm presuming he's going to run. He's still pretty young, and there's no other obvious office for him to go to. And he's been in political life his whole career. So I assume he's going to run, and he'll do it at a time when he thinks he'll get the maximum impact, maybe after the legislative session is over.
And in the meantime, you might think that Democratic challengers might be getting out there, getting some name recognition, fundraising, but that hasn't happened. In fact, we've seen, I think it was just last week, three contenders say no, they were not going to challenge Governor Walker, including former state senator Tim Cullen. Is this kind of par for the course when it's earlier, or has it been kind of hard for Democrats to get a strong candidate going up against Governor Walker?
Well, they don't have a candidate going. They have this one young fellow who's moved in from California. He's 25 years old. But that's it. I mean, you know, usually there'd be some rumblings. You know, even if somebody wasn't officially announced, you would know that he was running or she was running because they'd be out raising money. They'd be going to events. And they just don't have a body right now against Walker. And that's what interested me. He should be, you know, a target Democrats would want to go after. And Democrats are pretty excited about 2018. You know, the president's party almost always loses elections and midterms, and President Trump is quite unpopular and certainly unpopular with Democrats. I mean, his approval ratings may tick back up, but right now they're pretty low. And so events like the special election in Kansas this week, where the congressional election, where Democrats came within 7 points in a district where the incumbent had carried it by 33 points last November. I mean, Democrats feel like they should be fired up. They feel like this will be a good recruiting cycle, a good cycle for raising money. If you're a Democrat and you have your eye on an office, this looks like about as good a chance as, you know, this far out as you're likely to see.
So why do you think that is? Is it just that Scott Walker appears to be such a formidable candidate? He's, as he said, one of his slogans when he was running for president, battle-tested. He's won 3 races, effectually. I mean, is that it?
Yeah, he's won. He's won in different contexts. He won in a wave Republican year. He won in a recall situation, and he won in 2014, which was also a good Republican year. But Walker was looking vulnerable. The polls were not so great for him against Mary Burke in 2014, right until the end. He ended up winning, you know, pretty easily. And in all of his races, he's taken either 52% or 53% of the vote. So Wisconsin is closely divided, but he seems to be able to get just enough of a majority to win. He's certainly a massive fundraiser. He does have support from the Koch brothers and other big money donors nationwide. He's currently the chair of the Republican Governors Association, so his job is raising money all over the country for races at that level. So he's going to have a ton of money, and he seems to be able to eke out a win in a closely divided state.
We're talking with Alan Greenblatt right now, political reporter for Governing, and he's with us to talk about how the 2018 gubernatorial race may shape up, and you can join the conversation. Who would you like to see run in 2018? If you're a Republican, do you plan on voting for Governor Scott Walker maybe again? Or if you're a Democrat, who would you like to see run? Why do you think more challengers haven't stepped up for Democrats? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation about the upcoming Wisconsin governor's race with Alan Greenblatt. He's political reporter for Governing. And we want to hear from you on this. How do you think the 2018 race is going to shape up? Still pretty early yet, but Democrats have yet to line up many candidates to run against likely return candidate Scott Walker. And if you're a Republican, do you think you'll vote for Scott Walker if he runs again? Right now, approval ratings in the low to mid 40s there. Or do you think you'd like to see someone new? If you're a Democrat, who would you like to see challenge Governor Walker? Call us at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. And we take our first caller now. We have Zach joining us in La Crosse. Zach, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I'm a student in the La Crosse, Wisconsin area, and I'm wondering, why doesn't Russ Feingold run against Governor Walker? I know he lost in the Senate race, but I just think with all of his experience, he would be a really strong candidate.
Zach, thank you for that. And some folks in Wisconsin, I'm sure Zach's not the only one, curious about why Russ Feingold has not expressed an interest in running for governor. Do you have any insight on that particular question, Alan?
Well, I haven't talked to former Senator Feingold myself, so I couldn't say. But, you know, he did lose just last year. And, you know, in politics, you can lose once, you can lose twice. But, maybe not even twice at that level. So he just lost. He looked like he was ahead all year long against Senator Johnson, and he ended up losing pretty handily. And this points to another problem for Democrats. They just don't have other bodies to throw up against Walker. They don't have another statewide elected official except for the Secretary of State, which is more or less a ceremonial office in your state. They only have 3 members of Congress. Tammy Baldwin is up next year, so she'll be running for re-election. And that's a problem for Democrats in a lot of states. They don't have officials with statewide name recognition or statewide offices. And in your state, and as in a lot of others, the Democratic vote is very concentrated. Almost all the Democratic vote now is in Madison and Milwaukee. And so the office holders are from those areas and won't play that well in the rest of the state. The same problem in Minnesota, the Democratic Party is having there, where almost all their support is in Minneapolis-St. Paul, and the rest of it just doesn't play in the rest of the state.
So just briefly before we get back to callers, there's a lot of them, but why do you think that is? Why is the bench so thin for Democrats in Wisconsin and outside of Wisconsin?
Well, Democrats took a beating during the Obama years. It's been sort of widely pointed out. They obviously lost control of Congress, both houses, over the course of the presidency, and they lost more than 900 state legislative seats. They were just wiped out, and their vote is really concentrated in the major metro areas, which we saw in the presidential race as well. You know, Hillary Clinton carried 88 of the nation's 100 largest counties, but practically nothing else. She only carried 490 counties nationwide, whereas Trump carried about 2,600. So the Democratic vote is very much an urban vote these days.
Take another caller. Now we have Diane joining us in Appleton. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. One thing I wanted to point out, I met with a candidate. I think the gentleman was referring to him. I tuned in late, Bob Harlow. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to enunciate a little bit. Bob is actually a native Wisconsinite. He comes from the area right around Barneveld, Wisconsin. But I wanted to say that he has a very, very well-defined progressive agenda that would definitely bring a lot of pride and cohesion back to a state that has been totally torn apart by Scott Walker. He's so innovative. And I think the Democrats want somebody that has new thoughts about what Wisconsin and the country needs. And Bob Harlow is just really innovative.
And Diane, thank you for calling. I appreciate that and sharing your thoughts on Bob Harlow. And I want to pick up on the last point Diane made, that she thinks the Democrats are ready for some fresh ideas, maybe some new blood. Is that something that maybe Democrats are up against at this particular point in time, that there was this huge paradigm shift in Washington with the election of Donald Trump, and now Democrats want to see that reflected in their politics?
Well, the Democratic base has done a good job of holding members of Congress' feet to the fire. I think right after the election, there was a lot of talk about would Democrats in Congress cooperate with the president, and all these protests and the flooding of the Capitol Hill switchboards has sort of strengthened the resolve. The base has led the politicians in they're not going to cooperate with Trump on anything. And we're going to see the same sort of, what we in the media will caricature as a Hillary Clinton establishment versus Bernie Sanders progressive wing divide. There's a governor's race this year in Virginia. The lieutenant governor looked like he was sailing to the nomination, and fairly late in the race in January, a former congressman got into the race, and he's been running on more the progressive side and is giving a real challenge. And it looks like he might be able to win. Anyway, so we're going to see this intra-party fighting. And, we'll see in Wisconsin if there are enough candidates to reflect this, whether there's sort of the old school establishment union oriented Democrats versus younger, perhaps even a non-white candidate, so forth. But one thing we should say is it may not matter. Whoever is the Democrat against Scott Walker is certain to get at least 45, maybe 48% of the vote. And if it does end up being a big Democratic wave year, it's with Democrats more fired up than Republicans, the opposite of what we saw in midterms in the Obama years, it's somebody who may not seem like a big power player going in, but that person may end up becoming the next governor. The right person is in the right place at the right time.
Diane, thank you for that call as we talk with political reporter Alan Greenblatt about the 2018 race for governor in Wisconsin and why Democrats don't have a big field of challengers lining up to perhaps run against Scott Walker. And we'll go next to Terry in northern Wisconsin. Terry, hi.
Hi. I guess I was going to pick on a couple of guys from the lower part of the state. John Erpenbacher, state senator, I think, from Middleton, and Chris Larson, I think, from the Milwaukee area. Those are two fellows that that I would support, either one.
All right, Terry, thank you for that. Terry recommending John Erpenbacher or Chris Larson. And let's go on next to talk to Steve in Danbury. Steve, hello.
Hi. Well, I like all the ideas for possible Democratic candidates I've heard so far. I don't think it's late at all. In fact, I think most people are still suffering from campaign fatigue from the last election. But I think you will see Senator Kathleen Vinehout jump into the race. And I think she's a particularly strong candidate. She's a farmer from western Wisconsin who has an understanding of budgetary things that exceeds anybody I've ever heard. She's a compassionate individual, well-spoken, good sense of humor. She would be a very strong candidate.
All right. Steve, thank you for that thought there about Kathleen Vinehout. And Alan, you wrote a little bit in your piece about some changes in Wisconsin, including the Government Accountability Board being dismantled. Do you see that playing a role in all of this?
Well, you know, Governor Walker's had no trouble raising money anyway, but I think the lack of a serious ethics and elections oversight agency will, you know, certainly make it easier. There was the big question with the John Doe case about whether his campaign in 2010 illegally coordinated with outside groups. He has survived that legal challenge, but he'll have no trouble raising millions upon millions of dollars if he needs to. People are saying it's not too late to get into the race. That's certainly true, but whoever runs against him is going to have to raise, tens of millions of dollars, and they'll want to get started.
And Alan, as we wrap up, what have you heard from Democratic leaders at the state and the national level about whether they're concerned about this or whether they think, yeah, there's going to be someone good in this position. We just have to hang on a bit. If you're a Democrat and if you're a Republican, you feel confident that Scott Walker is going to run again and he's going to be strong.
Well, of course, they will say to a reporter that they're feeling plenty confident and they're going to have somebody. And, in the end, somebody with some real stature, not to denigrate Mr. Harlow, but, somebody who's a little more seasoned will come into the race, I'm sure. But, it's late and a lot of people have already said they're not going to run. And it's not just Wisconsin. The problems I've talked about where the base is all in the urban centers. There's not a statewide, candidate statewide profile going in. I mean, these are problems in Ohio and Iowa, in Michigan. These are states that Democrats should win, that they traditionally win in presidential years, that they won narrowly last year with Trump. But they're just not getting the horses.
Alan, we leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Alan Greenblatt is a political reporter for Governing, joining us to talk about the 2018 race for governor in Wisconsin.